A Simple Service. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating explicit. Relationship Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for BDSM, Service Top, Service Kink, Spanking, Scratching, Restraints, Sex Education, Angst, Pining, Scars, Implied or Referenced Self-Harm, Impact Play, Bratting, Hair Pulling. Aizawa is a bratty sub, but we all knew. Toshi's first topping. Okay, now blow out the candles. First time blowjobs. Sub drop. Dom drop. Bad BDSM etiquette. Cum shot. Aftercare. Aizawa Shota, Eraserhead, is a little shit. Body worship. And, oh, also, sex toy panic. Part 21 of the Bandages and Bravado series.
For the longest time we're jamming at the party, and you're whipping on beat, pushing everything on me. We got Silento on repeat. But if you think you're gonna get away from me, better change your mind. The Henny got me feeling right. You're going home with me tonight. Let me hold you, girl, caress my body. You got me going crazy, yo. Turn me up, turn me up. Let me jam you, girl, whip all around me. You got me going crazy, yo. Turn me up, turn me
It was Saturday afternoon, and the two of them were reclining on Aizawa's enormous futon, grating as the AC unit whirred gently back and forth, back and forth. The single fancy iced coffee Toshinori had brought was sweating a ring onto the wooden floor by Aizawa's scarred elbow, reduced to watery golden dregs by the heat and the homeroom teacher's slavish concentration. He had offered it as a pittance for missing the text Thursday night, and Aizawa accepted him and his coy drama with a nod, settling in wonderfully close to him for their agreed-upon grading sprint. For an hour or two, he may weaving imperiously between them, for affection as the AC blew and ruffled their papers in rounds, it was enough. Until Toshinori's mind began to wander, as it always did with Aizawa so close. It was just a missed text, and there was no urgency behind it. But of course, he still jumped at the chance to play. So, the coffee. Bribery was a bit of a game between them, even beyond their ongoing lunch contract. And a lovely way to experiment with giving and taking and the powerful space between the two acts. Strange as it was, Toshinori quickly realized that he enjoyed being in Aizawa's debt in small, silly ways. Maybe a little too much. Perhaps it was because the memory of being held in Aizawa's genuine contempt felt like a grisly burn mark on his mind, and he had no wish to return there. With little offenses or missteps came the opportunity to show his relentless goodwill and willingness to work. To go above and beyond, plus ultra, as it were. And so Toshinori threw himself into pleasing his co-worker slash fuck buddy with an enthusiasm known throughout the world. This angle was hampered somewhat by the fact that Aizawa was singularly difficult to please or disappoint in any given moment due to his low standards. Midnight and Mike would wail endlessly about how impossible he was to buy gifts for, especially since he despised birthdays or any sort of direct attention, really. But Toshinori persisted. Most importantly, he adapted, realizing that the gifts he preferred to give weren't necessarily to Aizawa's taste. Over time, Aizawa grew to humor him, and the strict sentiment of utility behind the tailored gifts of food and coffee, his little errands or cat-themed office supplies. Things Toshinori knew the other hero valued, at least a little. With each look of acknowledgement or subtle satisfaction, Toshinori unexpectedly reveled in the feeling of being momentarily beneath him. There was a rush that came with being given a chance to please such a blunt, exacting man, to be of use and be redeemed. It was more than nice. It was absolutely addicting. The anticipation of a small, knowing smile even found him buying things after school or over the weekend, and practically wiggling in his seat until he could find a quiet way to gift them. From a man who accepted so little and who had taken so long to accept him, any shade of Aizawa's gratitude hit the older hero's bloodstream like a drug, white hot, and left him soaring from weird and giddy satisfaction. On these days, Midnight would inevitably find him in the halls and pleasantly torture him, squeezing his shoulder or stroking his oversized tie with a wink and chatting about nothing with an obscene amount of electrifying eye contact. It only made him chuckle more when she sidled close to unknowingly sip off his endorphins, because it was like the Dom in her had scented honey and couldn't stay away. He didn't try to hide. He was almost certain he glowed in the dark anyway. Although he had stumbled into a picture-perfect example of the transformative nature of BDSM and power exchange, reframing unpleasant experiences with better emotions, eroticized the undesirable into controlled play to rewrite painful rejection, Toshinori hadn't really thought about putting it all together. Moving the act of giving from gifts to services or sheer submission. Why? Just the mere idea of being beached in an imagined debt with Aizawa, deciding what to do with him, took his breath away. Being at the man's true mercy stopped anything resembling a thought, really. He should have realized his taste for it after their first scene. But, well, thinking. Imagining the weight of Aizawa's dark eyes and cutting edge of expectation, Toshinori's whole neglected body simply pulsed, bending with heat and hunger. He wanted it, and he was coming to realize that his hunger had long outpaced his caution in this arrangement, for better or worse. Toshinori wondered if it wasn't an infatuation with hunger itself, uncontrollable and thoughtless and so long absent from his life, that he had to set his watch in order to remember the existence of food. Ironically or not, it still ate up his every thought. He hadn't craved in years, and it was dizzying. But he had certainly missed the text. His choice of iced coffee clearly wasn't the best, but Aizawa had been working so hard lately. Don't be too formal. Don't be awkward. When you have a moment, Aizawa-kun. Ah, too late. Aizawa looked over at Toshinori from his sprawl on the rumpled futon, blinking out of an hour-long stupor of red X's and checkmarks. Then he waited, grating key still in his hand, and Toshinori cursed himself as he looked away, ink-smudged hands itching to drift up to his gaping shirt collar and tug. "I have a proposal for you," he began, clearing his throat. "I'd like to..." No matter how many times he'd rehearsed it, he still found himself grasping for the right words to describe what he wanted, and any semblance of a plan predictably splintered underneath the gaze of the very man he wanted explicit permission to physically worship. Could he even hope to create a space constrictive enough that Aizawa could set some of his troubles aside and accept pleasure? It felt like hubris. Deep breath, ever forward. "That is, I'd like to be dominant. Occupy the dominant role. With you. Intimately." Toshinori explained with an obscene amount of pauses, heart dashing itself against his ribs as he stared at the folds in the sheets beneath his oversized yellow trousers. Then, in a rush, Obviously, this is a departure from our initial agreement, but I was hoping I could be the one to care for you, service you, since you're expending so much time and energy lately. With the extra work you're taking on, I mean, and your duties are extensive, even without young Shinso back on his feet, so... To be perfectly clear, Toshinori had no idea what a so-called service top was. He would not for many months. But today, he was going to try to be something. And do so for Aizawa. With feeling. Butt cheeks clenched. Brave. Entirely too much feeling, if he really had to think about it, which he wasn't. Across from him, Aizawa cocked his head, loose hair falling into his face. Huh. The homeroom teacher's voice was a little strange, almost squeezed. Toshinori's battered heart was fully prepared to dive into the depths of his stapled gut, an apology already on his lips. But then Aizawa put down his papers. A good sign. Okay, he said. Would you enjoy that? Toshinori asked, around the nervous lump in his throat, swallowing it back. He looked up for the first time, and was relieved to see Aizawa looking calm and sleepy and certain, and not at all unnerved. Handsome, terribly so, even in a t-shirt and lounge pants and a few days of scruff on his chin. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd like to turn off my brain for a while. With a ridiculous ease the older hero could only dream of, Aizawa rolled over to close his laptop and stack his grading keys atop it, t-shirt riding up and exposing a warm stripe of his sculpted belly, dark hair forming a line to his navel above his ridiculous pink sweatpants. It called Toshinori's eyes and mouth like a magnet. He wet his lips. Warmth dribbled into his belly. So it was happening? Easy as that? The answer was a resounding yes. More than shoving their workload to the side, they had fitfully kissed and groped one another atop a quiz or two in the last week, something Toshinori wasn't particularly proud of. Toshinori watched Aizawa dutifully clear the area of books and pens and quizzes, stacking things, putting them away. He was taking it seriously, clearing space for them, for this. Appreciation and doubt and excitement and nervousness tangled in Toshinori's mind. But his body was already shivering in anticipation where he knelt, tracking the younger hero's every movement. He busily flexed his toes in his socks as Aizawa picked Hime up and gently exiled her, closing the door after her offended meow. By the time Aizawa lay back on his exorbitantly fluffy futon, hands clasped behind his head and legs crossed, Toshinori couldn't do much more than stare down at him, profoundly at a loss. It was so very quiet. "What do you want to do?" Aizawa asked softly, a sliver of a smile on his scruffy face. He was very handsome and very distracting and very much deferring to him, which was equal parts thrilling and deeply unnerving. "That's my line now," Toshinori chided him. Unsure.
"You're doing fine, Toshi."
The pet name, just a few weeks old, pierced him through the heart, and the older hero smiled automatically, goofy with the rush of it. Approval from such a stringent soul was a high of psychedelic proportions, and Toshinori began to realize why he might have been so very attached to Aizawa in the first place. His hankering for uphill struggles and slim victories had no limit, it seemed. And the higher the climb? He said yes. Focus, Toshinori thought. He wants to do this. Oh no, that just made him nervous in an entirely different way.
"If you're looking to top, this can go a few different ways,"
Aizawa offered when the silence dragged on, still smiling.
"Restraining someone establishes a physical power advantage, for one. It's a good place to start. Then, maybe, I ask you to do different things to me, and you do, or you don't. Your choice."
Aizawa nodded, already lightheaded from the prospect of it. Or maybe just the low, casual way Aizawa said it, practically a taunt.
"Then again, Was he capable of saying no to Aizawa? Restraining. Right. Toshinori repeated under his breath. Like he was thinking deeply about it. There was no thinking to be had. God, this man made him incredibly stupid. Ah, well. May I have your arms, then? Aizawa offered them, and Toshinori crawled up beside him and sat back on his heels, taking both of the younger hero's wrists in one hand and placing them above his head. No, he pinned them above his head, and the feeling of his warm wrists secured in his big palm was exciting, as was the simple willingness of Aizawa's sinewy body beneath his. The trust inherent in it all amazed him. He also wished Aizawa would look away for a damn second and let him think about what he was going to do with the rest of him. Why had he thought so hard about the offer and not what came next? Fantasies were a given, but he didn't have a plan for this.
You never have a plan,
said a voice in his head that sounded suspiciously like the man underneath him, though Aizawa's smirking lips had not moved. Damn it. Toshinori tried to review the various methods that Aizawa had used to restrain him in their past escapades, sans his reins, but he was always deliciously addled whenever it got to that point. Frowning in concentration, ignoring the creak of his joints, Toshinori maneuvered until he was straddling his partner, trying not to lose his balance while still holding Aizawa's arms above his head. It proved a bit of a contortionist's act, no matter how long his reach. As Toshinori thought far too hard and moved far too stiffly, he didn't notice Aizawa's dark curls shifting and swaying ever so slightly on the pillow. He didn't hear the rustling at the foot of the bed, either. He was focused, after all. Okay, there. Now, what do you— Hey! The older hero exclaimed faintly as something poked his cheek. He turned, and a disembodied loop of Aizawa's capture weapon was floating right beside his face. And, as he stared, gave him another poke. He recoiled and put his free hand out, guarding. Hey now, stay back. Are you serious? Aizawa abruptly shouted with laughter, head falling to the side as he, and the capture weapon, shook with mirth. The rare sight and sound was so astonishing that any hurt or nerves fell away almost instantly, leaving Toshinori stunned by what had just happened. Something, potentially, that no one would believe. Your fucking face, Aizawa gasped, not guilty in the slightest. Is this what you actually want? To tease me? Toshinori asked. He reached out and awkwardly patted the floating weapon like it was a curious pet. Do they feel like they're being left out? Holy shit, do not personify my capture weapon. Aizawa groaned, his hand over his face. The capture weapon fell to the floor in a pile, as if similarly horrified and playing dead. It's been through too much. Fuck. Ha. I'm sorry, Toshinori said mildly after another moment. Less about the joke and more about his failed attempt at seduction. He sighed and moved to draw back, but Aizawa rose just enough to catch his hand and his waist, stopping him. The homeroom teacher gave him one of his pleased, toothy grins, carnivorous and charming. Hey, wait, I still want it. Can I give you some advice, since it's your first time trying to restrain someone? I am at your disposal, Aizawa-sensei, Toshinori said with a humble air fit for an Edo-era court. That earned him an eye roll. He dismounted and kneeled on the futon, and Aizawa flopped back with a puff of sheets and padding, his hand softening on the older hero's wrists and stroking absently. Hand restraint works well in close quarters or a short-term situation. If you're committed to a scene and want it to last more than 5 minutes, or long enough to get off, just use a mechanical means of restraint. It frees up your hands and your head. At Toshinori's curious expression, Aizawa nodded to the built-in shelf along the right wall. There's a pair of cuffs in the green box. Toshinori obediently shuffled over and reached up into the dented green cardstock box on the second shelf, fingers brushing against bulky leather immediately. He pulled out a heavy-duty set of fixed restraints with no mobility between the wide black cuffs. He felt along the padded inside, which was very soft and springy. They were clearly built to provide pressure and restraint, but with comfort. He was learning that so much of this was not about pain, but pleasure, and the idea of Aizawa's wrists strapped tightly inside of them? Well, there's more stuff in there to mess around with if you want, Aizawa called, so terribly casual that Toshinori should have known better. Cuffs in hand, Toshinori looked back into the open box and swallowed a gasp. The sheer amount of penis-shaped equipment was enough to make the older hero stare and clutch the cuffs to his chest, eyes wide. Most of it was sticky-looking silicone, dark and terribly thick, and bubbling with half-realistic vein or other sinister texturing. The cuffs were one thing, but the image of Aizawa's pink tongue sliding lazily along the detailed frenulum, notching of an engorged gunmetal cock, made Toshinori's heart race and dared him to lean over, disbelieving. Aizawa used these and was inviting him to use them with him? More images swarmed him, mostly Aizawa, alone, teasing any number of thick, slippery, knotted things between his muscled thighs with small, savoring sounds, mouth parted and hips rolling. Toshinori felt his ears go terribly hot, and he gulped. Below him, the Cthulian dark of the box glinted with the occasional forbidding presence of metal. And hell, what was that? Too far gone, Toshinori choked down the instant rise of blood at the back of his throat and fled. Or just turned around and motioned to Aizawa with the leather cuffs, completely clueless as to what expression he was making as he did so. One thing at a time. The road to victory was won with single steps. Cuffs. Okay, now there's a latch on the lower part of the wall. An old anchoring ring for furniture. The cuffs hook into that. Aizawa smirked, probably at the sheer apprehension in his face. Fresh off a sex toy ambush. Toshinori was suddenly looking at the humble futon beneath them like it was booby-trapped or secretly an all-in-one automated sex dungeon. Aizawa raised a hand, voice mild. That's the last of it, promise. The setup made sense, of course. Surely Aizawa liked to be tied up some of the time, and few others had a quirk so exquisitely suited to restraint. He might even get tired of using his capture weapon when such an elegantly simple solution was available. To clear up more headspace and concentration for whomever was subbing for him. Then, Toshinori was struck with an unexpectedly frantic thought about how many men had tied the younger hero down like this, helpless. He worried about it acutely for an instant before shaking it away. No. This was a negotiated space. That much was clear. And Aizawa was the furthest thing from foolhardy when it came to his personal safety. Other people did start this sort of thing regularly, and the whole point was that no one was truly in any danger. They did this regularly because they had an arrangement. Toshinori shook that intrusive, strangely sobering thought away as well and cleared his throat. Are you ready? Aizawa obligingly raised his arms again with a greedy grin, and Toshinori's poor heart throbbed with equal parts orange excitement and the most distant of miseries. The process of strapping the man's wrist into unfamiliar cuffs and figuring out how all the little parts worked was thrilling. Having Aizawa whisper, tighter, into his ear, also wonderful. Then the D-ring clicked primly into place, metal against metal, and it was done. He was fully restrained. Aizawa's eyes were closed and he was breathing deeply, lithe form stretched out on the futon, and already radiating abandon down to his gently flexing toes. Marveling at the sight,
Toshinori was shocked at how quickly the energy in the room had changed with just a simple bit of restraint. This was about so much more than black leather, although the aesthetic surely helped set the scene. The first thing he could think? He liked this Aizawa. The Spectre of 1A was hardly on his scaring game that afternoon, with just the two of them grading. But Toshinori had never seen his co-teacher so singularly soft and relaxed, even while cocooned in his sleeping bag. Sprawled like he was, he looked ready to be touched and stripped down, and just the thought made Toshinori want to run his hand down his side and squeeze or pet or even grab. Was grabbing on Aizawa's list? It was a long one. Already drowsing beneath him, Aizawa lightly snapped his fingers above the cuffs for his attention.
Hey, you need to know, my filters go down when I go under, and sometimes I ramble if I go under,
he amended, for which Toshinori didn't blame him in the slightest. Exploration, not expectation. Oh, I see, he said. That's wonderful. The point? Toshinori teetered on the edge of the obvious, confused. Was his fellow hero afraid of insulting him with hidden frustration or anger, even if it meant enduring long buried slights about his plotting progress and lecturing the children? He would just be glad to give Aizawa the chance to let off steam. Toshinori waved his hand genially. Please, my friend, say what you need to. I won't take it personally. While Toshinori thought that was a commendably neutral and encouraging response, very mature, if not dom-like, Aizawa looked slightly pricked, as if the simple exchange wasn't going as intended. He huffed, and his face shifted into a dull expression Toshinori had seen often around UA, his professional face.
What I mean is, I use this space to speak without thinking. No woulds or shoulds and no apologies. So if you're successful in getting me there, I'm probably going to ask you to fuck me, repeatedly and aggressively.
Toshinori choked a little. Just a little.
And?
Aizawa droned on, presumably before Toshinori could embarrass himself with trying to concoct a response to that.
I'd ask you not to take that personally either. I'm in control, but you set the pace. Just because I say something doesn't mean you have to do it. Obviously. The lowest threshold of comfort always wins, okay?
Okay, Toshinori said, hurried and hushed as he assimilated the concept into his suddenly noisy mind. He checked the urge to nervously bow at the waist. Silly. I understand now. Thanks for the, warning.
Good. And in this role you will...
It took Toshinori a minute to understand that his generous sensei was granting him a review before the test. A little too eager to demonstrate his knowledge or a little too accustomed to a high school teaching environment, he clapped his hands, sitting upright and proper. Ah, I will ask for colors often, especially as I initiate new acts, and err on the side of safety, and do the same with myself, he added hurriedly, pleased to see Aizawa's shoulders finally relax. I also have the ability to safe word out at any time, should I become uncomfortable. Aizawa nodded, almost to himself, but there was a lingering severity to his frown as he continued.
And you will not, under any circumstances?
The line where his power ended, Aizawa's hard stops. Cover your eyes or your mouth at any point, for any reason. Nothing that blocks breathing or the ability to speak and refuse any act. No slapping around the face or forcible deep throating. Toshinori flushed bright red to even say such a thing, and tugged at one of his bangs to dispel the horrified heat from his cheeks. Hopefully, it was somewhat comforting that he had such a reaction just to saying the term, much less enacting it. Either way, Aizawa seemed satisfied with his response. and, in turn, his general safety under his care. Aizawa huffed and settled back with a nod, officially done with their Bondage 101 review session from the look of it. And this was not an experience Toshinori cared to interrupt for technique questions, so he was officially on his own. He took a deep breath and tried to run through the process as he remembered it from the other side of things, tapping his fingertips on his knees. So, you don't want the blindfold then?
No,
Aizawa answered readily, looking up at him with mirth flashing in his hooded eyes.
Mostly because I'm going to ask you to suck my cock and I want to see that.
Toshinori coughed immediately, hastily covering his mouth. Between the instant cacophony in his mind and his body, it took him a minute to recover and draw breath.
Would you be willing to do that?
Aizawa asked after a moment, much more cautiously. But Toshinori just waved his free hand without a word, not trusting himself to speak. Or rather, not to shout, "Yes, yes, yes!" Aizawa honestly had no idea how much he wanted to. The idea of being on his knees for the younger hero had commandeered his fantasies ever since their first scene. Again, he should have known. And Toshinori was just waiting for an opening that his inexperience and nerves would allow. This scenario was unexpectedly perfect. It turned out that tying someone up was just about as soothing as being tied in some ways. There was a magic to committing to a scene, and thus committing to what you wanted, and he was absolutely ready.
Very willing, and I won't do anything I don't want to, Toshinori assured him with a faint smile, smoothing his hand down his leg. You've helped me with the restraints. Now clear your head and don't worry about me, please.
Aizawa hummed sleepily as he settled back into his throne of sheets, eyes closing. Toshinori grinned. The man didn't need to be told twice, and that was a beautiful thing. That thrilling, cozy confetti feeling strained at the seams of Toshinori's heart, but he mentally patted it down, saying, "Not yet," even as their game began in earnest. Aizawa was laid out and tied and at his disposal, or Toshinori at his. First step, no clothes. The prospect and then process of undressing the younger hero by hand was as exciting as the slow reveal of his long, sculpted body. It was the first time he'd actually gotten to see Aizawa fully naked since the trip to the Kichi Hot Springs theme park. This time without the distracting gleam of water and perspiration and public spaces. They were perfectly alone now, and the blissfully harried meter of Toshinori's heart wouldn't let him forget it for an instant. He pulled the worn gray t-shirt up first, foiled by the cuffs and the torque of Aizawa's arms. He left it bunched just under his chin, his long, scar-pricked torso all the more enticing for the sloppy bit of fabric. Toshinori touched as he went, welcoming each new plane of skin with soft brushes of his lips and fingertips. Aizawa's forearms were coarsely furred, and the same dark hair cut an enticingly sharp line down from his navel. Toshinori scrubbed through it with a fingertip, and Aizawa twitched, breathing in sharply, and a glance revealed his fellow hero's head thrown back atop the pillow, pulse visibly tapping at the hollow of his throat as he breathed slow and even. Terribly gorgeous. The ridiculous pink lounge pants came off easily, once Toshinori gently maneuvered them over the demanding curve of Aizawa's cock, already flushed and erect. Nothing underneath, of course. Too practical for underwear on a day like today, he thought, with a private smile. Giddy with the little things he knew. The pants hit the floor, and Aizawa shivered soundlessly once naked, hiking his knee up slightly. Maybe to guard against his eyes or the chilly roaming of the AC unit. Toshinori leaned down and blew a little air over the raised leg, fingers trailing up the downy underside of Aizawa's thigh, and was entranced by how immediately his rigid cock flexed toes curling. Terribly gorgeous, yes, and for the moment, undeniably his. The very thought felt like stealing. Color? Toshinori murmured, the warmth of the thick thigh in his hand already sinking him into a kind of trance. Green. Toshinori thought he heard a tiny smile in Aizawa's deep voice, perhaps for his extreme caution. But he had no time to waste on interpreting. The only place for his hungry body to be was between Aizawa's spread legs, and as close as humanly possible. An arm beneath each knee was enough to fold the notoriously flexible hero in half as Toshinori bent over him and slowly slotted their mouths together. His trapped erection throbbing lushly against his trouser zipper with every heartbeat. It was a different kind of erotic, to be fully clothed and pressed against someone so defenseless. It painted the power differential in lurid tones, even without the black cuffs locking Aizawa to the wall. Whether it was the scrape of the starched suiting on his bare skin, or the blatant objectification that excited him, the way Aizawa gave in to him was entirely golden and new. Aizawa had often made a game of disparaging what he called All Might's damsel kiss, but here he melted into it, breathing heavily and sucking at his lip with faint, wanting sounds that stole Toshinori's already pitifully limited breath. He could feel Aizawa trying to grind up against the front of his pants and the hard line of his cock, but gently pinned him by his knees and the slow, shifting press of his mouth as they kissed and kissed. Toshinori imagined his trousers darkened with blots from Aizawa's leaking cock and shivered, reaching between them the very next second to wrap his hand around his shaft. His face warmed at the hot girth filling his fist and the eager smudge of wetness at the head. He squeezed and Aizawa groaned into his mouth, low and animal, and damn it, he nearly came in his pants. He had to give it to his sensual sensei. Doming was a definite skill. It took the utmost of restraint, ironically, and Toshinori was unsure he had the mettle for it. But he was prepared to break his own limits 1,000 times over if it meant meeting Aizawa's expectations. 1,000 times more if he could exceed them. Kissing him all the while, Toshinori began to pump his fist in a slow, firm pace, relishing the rhythmic tense and release of the body pinned beneath his. Then he pressed down a little further, a little closer, and Aizawa jerked and hissed into his mouth. Startled, he pulled back and stared. A bright pink line spanned the inside of Aizawa's thigh, pale skin welting lavishly around it, and the end of that scratch was Toshinori's cufflink. Aizawa caught his breath, and this time moaned it out, low and stuttering. When Toshinori looked up, prepared to apologize for the unexpected weaponization of his clothes, his playmate's dark eyes were waiting for him between the sprawl of his legs, lip tucked beneath his teeth. "Good," he said, breathed, dark and heavy. Toshinori froze. He didn't know whether it was a comment on the sensation or his performance, but either way, stopping wasn't really an option. He'd never heard Aizawa's voice so hazy and wanting, and it was his job to give Aizawa what he wanted. Carefully, he traced the line of the scratch and pinched the raw skin between his fingers. A test, met with an immediate squirm. Enjoyment. Vaguely terrified at how willing he was to follow orders, Toshinori angled his arm so the square of metal bit into the soft of his thigh. He waited for Aizawa to huff anxiously before passing it over his leg. Lightly, almost curiously. Aizawa twitched and grunted. Harder. rigid with sudden concentration. Toshinori obliged with a firm, sweeping motion. He scraped all the way down the inside of his leg and was rewarded with an instant, guilty moan, dark hair standing on end. "Fuck again," he hissed with a roll of his hips, and the word that Toshinori had heard so often in class, in boring or vaguely menacing tones, tipped his world with its simple rawness. Aizawa arched against the bed and yanked on the cuffs, the hard, clanging sound jarring Toshinori out of whatever space he had been in. Specifically, the suspension of disbelief that allowed him to ignore the fact that he was slicing into his co-worker's skin, even if said co-worker clearly loved it. Toshinori hastily unbuttoned his sleeves and rolled them up his thin arms, stowing the makeshift weapons. "Enough," he swallowed down against the sudden pounding of his heart and the wobbling feeling of having gone too far. "Maybe later, if you are good." It was a canned, vaguely pathetic attempt at being condescending. Wasn't that part of his job, too? And Aizawa scented his pretense immediately, flashing one of his eerie, ravenous grins from his sprawl on his back. Toshinori's mind absolutely cramped at the resulting rush of embarrassment and desperate desire to please, not to mention the truly tangled nature of their roles. "Come here," Aizawa murmured with a firm nod of his head, his grin fading as Toshinori complied. Once seated at his side, his bound co-teacher sounded almost polite, or just uncommonly quiet, and couldn't meet his eyes. Toshinori's curiosity bloomed almost equal with his lust, addicting, and he leaned close to hear the next request. "Pull my hair." That he could do, and he did, sliding his fingers into the silky mess, gripping close to his scalp, and pulling. It was a firm, steady pull. Every small bit of him, eyelashes, toes, twitched as if kissed by static. And he didn't realize Aizawa was holding his breath until he let it out in a harsh rush, startling him. "Fuck, Toshi," he groaned, stretching and arching and feeling out his body with relish. Toshinori's attention was pinned on the sumptuous feline shift of his shoulders below his bound hands, and how heavy his breath was. There was a requisite worry that he'd pulled too hard, but no, a purely loopy grin tugged at the younger hero's mouth, toes digging into the futon. Aizawa opened an eye. "You lift cars with those hands." It sounded like a cheesy pickup line at a bar, worsened by the dreamy slur, and Toshinori laughed. "Only when I have to." Aizawa hummed and nosed into his palm, and Toshinori had to wonder how much more powerful, or simply important, he felt bowing this hero's gorgeous body with such a grip than hefting any vehicle, and he was humbled for the thousandth time. Aizawa trusted him immensely. And personally. "Aren't you worried about this happening in a fight?" he wanted to ask when he pulled again, floored by the ecstatic reaction to a fistful of hair. But not only was it not the time for such serious subjects, Toshinori knew it was about so much more than physical stimulation. It was an alchemy and eclipse of time, touch, safety, play. He was learning. And according to the very aroused, very relaxed man nuzzling him for more, his first practical was going well. "You can keep going," Aizawa said gruffly, his eyes closed and chin high. Churlish. Like maybe he shouldn't have to say it, or maybe he shouldn't have to wait. Toshinori's grin only widened. A cat to the core. Or even a brat. "I can," he said quietly. Toshinori was at his playmate's mercy, and what he would allow, and it was a strange yet grounding thought to fill his perfectly calm mind as he bent and sank his fingers into the hair at the base of his skull, tugging sharply and sucking at Aizawa's exposed neck. His body thrilled painfully when Aizawa groaned and kicked at the sheets, struggling.
"Gonna make me come," came the mutter above his head, thick and a little angry.
And although Toshinori very much wanted to see someone orgasm via hair pulling, he had also agreed to protect Aizawa's interests in this endeavor. He pulled away, the both of them breathing pitifully hard, and fell upon his naked chest, touching and kissing. His hand ghosted over Aizawa's untouched cock, but even the way the younger hero bucked into the touch with a frustrated moan wasn't enough to distract him from the way it felt to nose in and rub his cheek against the warm skin. It was, in fact, very difficult not to nuzzle him the whole way down. Toshinori realized that he'd never nuzzled anyone before, and it was fantastic. He'd learned the term skin hunger in Psychology 101 back in California, but it had never made sense before that moment, lost as he was in the warmth and honesty of Aizawa's naked form. He was beautiful by any standard, but the musky scent of Aizawa's skin sharpened with the bitter glint of pre-cum already beating at the tip of his cock and waiting for the touch of his tongue made his body ache tremendously. Dual intimidation and painful excitement nearly bowled him over, electrifying. It also could be that he liked men a hell of a lot. This one in particular, Toshinori thought as he glanced up, stunned then shy, reaffirming that this incredible erotic thing was actually happening. It felt like giving thanks to skim his fingers down Aizawa's sides, tickling or touching as he followed with kisses with teeth. He breathed slowly, to match the soothing rise and fall of Aizawa's belly underneath his lips, cheek to his hip. He knelt there for a moment, reveling, and then he opened his eyes. Shining on the crest of his hip bone, Toshinori saw the scars. It didn't sober him as much as halt his electric world on its axis, 100 feelings swamping him at once. This was more than a gouge from a bad fight. It was a bad year, every day a battle, and Yue itself had scarred him. Self-hatred and doubt and fear moved the blade to number those failed expectations where no one would see, committed to obscurity, even as a suffering child. Hero culture had robbed Aizawa of anything resembling childhood, and Toshinori saw that, same as he saw the man who drove his students so hard for fear of losing them. At the same time, Aizawa saw each of them. He saw what they could be, what they had to offer in this changing world in pursuit of their personal excellence. Maybe because no one had ever given him a choice other than survival. There was so much pain in him, but he persisted. He rejected those old lessons without rejecting the scars, without being eaten by shame. How? How could it be that the man beneath him was everything he had ever been, without a thought of hiding? Drifting as if weightless, Toshinori leaned down and gently pressed his lips to the worst of it, cupping the younger hero's hip. Wounded chest aching with feeling, he kissed the lumpy jumble of scars and acknowledged the pain of it, the bravery of it, and the absolute worthiness of the man laid under him, naked and torn and healed. Never had he met someone who could give of himself so conscientiously and face himself without flinching, even the darkest parts, even the losses. Above him, far away, Toshinori heard a sharp intake of breath. He looked up. Aizawa's eyes were closed, tightly. Concern pierced the older hero's chest, and emotional fugue alike. A sour note, not quite dread, but getting there. Worry. "I'm sorry," Toshinori said softly, unsurely. There was no answer. All of the dripping relaxation from the hair pulling was gone. Aizawa, his breath his body shook, a brittle tremble that had nothing to do with excitement or exhaustion. Afraid. Toshinori glanced down at the marred bit of skin and drew away entirely, kneeling motionless beside the bound man. He'd crossed a line and he knew it. His head was terribly empty. He took a breath. As long as he was over that line, he may as well say it. I apologize if I overstepped my bounds. You are so brave. Any sort of ugliness you think you have, I don't see it. This part of you is difficult and painful, but not shameful. I don't think I realize how hard it could be for you, working here, saving these children or teaching them that they are worth saving. You cultivate their humanity alongside their skills, and you risk so much in caring for them as you do. You are the most heroic person I've ever met, and you came back to make sure no child ever hurt like you had, didn't you? I'm just so glad you're here, Toshinori said quietly, lip trembling as the full meaning of those words struck him. How many different ways could the younger hero's life have gone or ended before they had even met? He closed his eyes, hands lacing together and holding tight. I suppose I wanted to honor every part of what it took. Silence stood thick between them, neither touching, neither looking. Mouth very shut, Toshinori could hear his own breath scraping through his nose, pitifully unsteady, and wondered if he should keep Hime out whenever he was asked to leave. Or when he would be allowed to speak to Aizawa again, outside of school grounds, and apologize. Again. I think I asked you to honor my cock, Aizawa finally said, dragging his voice up from a flat whisper with a grunt of effort. Just saying. When he dared to, when he was certain he had actually heard the words, Toshinori stared down at Aizawa, who was focused only on the ceiling. Color? Toshinori asked hoarsely, in disbelief that a man could be so forgiving. Yellowish green, Aizawa answered with a sniff, awkwardly rolling his shoulders and resettling. He closed his eyes and exhaled, taking with it the last of the tremble in his voice. Lime. Any confusion was temporary. Lime was a place between yellow and green that surely entailed a willingness to go ahead while acknowledging hesitance. A bit of a reach, maybe. Today, lime was the color of a second chance. Toshinori couldn't help but smile, shaken by the turnaround and deeply thankful for the honesty. He wanted to say, "Oh, hell," or "Thank you," or a million other things that would probably put him right back on the other side of the line. But he didn't move beyond drumming his fingers on his knee. He knew it wasn't as easy as stopping and starting again, especially listening to Aizawa take deep, controlled breaths over and over. He couldn't just go back to the original goal at full speed, or even reduced speed. Toshinori had to rebuild that trust between them. A fact brought into glaring focus by the way Aizawa automatically tensed when he rose to his knees. Toshinori decided against taking higher ground. Instead, he eased down next to Aizawa on the futon, careful of his bad side, and leaned over until their noses were almost touching. "May I kiss you?" he asked, trying not to sound as painfully hopeful as he felt. Eyes still closed, Aizawa held his breath, then let it out with a puff of laughter. Sardonic and maybe a little shy. Soft. God, how he wanted to be a person Aizawa could be soft around. Someone he could trust not to harm him. "Yeah," Aizawa whispered, wetting his lips. "You can." Toshinori kissed the corner of his mouth first. Light as a fallen cherry blossom. Stubble tickled his face, and happiness and a raucous hope bloomed inside of him when he felt Aizawa's lips twitch into a smile, before he turned his head and nosed against his cheek, sighing.
With a soft, searching kiss, most of the unpleasant tension was quick to vacate. Toshinori reached into his damp, messy hair and pulled and played, offering. The offer was accepted with a mulish growl. Aizawa rolled to face him and hooked a leg over Toshinori's hip, closing any distance between them with a demanding tug. His erection jabbed into his belly, and the curt bite to his bottom lip was both warning and permission. Get on with it or don't. Unsurprisingly, Toshinori got on with it, and he hit Aizawa with everything he had. Educated now, he fisted into the thick hair at the back of Aizawa's neck, and he immediately arched, moaning into his mouth. Toshinori fumbled his other hand around his cock, and the bound hero threatened to bunch the futon in half, the way he immediately began to thrust his hips, haphazardly fucking into Toshinori's tightening fist as best he could on his side. His recovery was dizzying, even worrying, had Aizawa not told him before that he used sex as a reset for his mind and body. Toshinori felt him vibrating with impatience, anchor rings scraping and clanging above them as he struggled closer. But even with the ready-made solution in the form of Aizawa's dick in his sticky hand, more wasn't something Toshinori could unthinkingly give. Not after such an incursion. It wasn't exactly guilt, he felt. The laser sight focus on the naked, squirming man in his arms wouldn't allow him to be guilty just yet. Mostly, he knew Aizawa had reached for his sake, and he didn't want to just finish this without casualties. He wanted to turn it around. If Aizawa was to touch him again, trust him again, he had to. He had to think. What was something Aizawa wanted? Was there something on his list that could, in a dominance frame of mind, communicate a mirroring reach and act as a reward for a partner's continued trust? Well, there was only one answer for that. Nervous as he was, Toshinori couldn't help but hold his breath as he grabbed a handful of Aizawa's round ass and smacked it with the flat of his hand. It was just a swat, but Aizawa went stiff. Kiss broken, their mouths hung close but unmoving. Toshinori's neck and chest flushed hot and cold with his own daring. "Is that something you want?" he asked, low and blank. He wanted to sound careful, but it just felt like audacity. He listened intently as Aizawa inhaled, shivering in his grip. "Yes," Aizawa answered after a moment, under his breath and determinedly not meeting his eyes. For the thousandth time, Toshinori had to wonder at submission and what it truly looked like. He nodded, already smoothing his hand over the offended area out of instinct alone. "All right, tell me if I strike too hard." Aizawa didn't answer, except for a smirk. A really very terrible smirk and a bold stare. Whether from gall or determination, that smirk was entirely the reason for the next smack, quick and light across the back of his thigh. Aizawa only grinned, evil and absolutely disparaging. Faster than the eye could see, Toshinori reached out and flung his cheeky coworker over, face down and ass up, where he was free to make all the goading faces he wanted into his goddamn pillow. "Brat," Toshinori thought with an odd relish, as he manhandled Aizawa's legs apart and holstered them to either side of his hips, pulling him ass first up onto his lap. It made a fantastically crude and tempting sight, and kneeled as he was, the older hero was tempted to clap his hands and give a quick itadakimasu, but he actually wanted Aizawa to like him after this. Instead, he cupped the curve of the gymnast hero's ass, eyeing the way his heavy cock hung in the gap between his knees, and barely touched the mattress when Aizawa tried in vain to roll his hips. Trapped. "Color?" Toshinori stroked the soft of his balls as he asked, and felt them pull tight in his palm, cock twitching in the gap between his belly and the mattress. An evil grin of his own appeared when he teased his thumb up the cleft of his ass, petting but not parting, and Aizawa immediately humped the air with a growl. Green. Tell me if I strike too hard, he said again, and waited until he heard a muffled, Yes! Before raising his hand and delivering number 3 on his playmate's kink list. Aizawa was silent at first, back dipped and fingers splayed above the bolted cuffs as he took one strike on the curve of his ass, then another. The crack of skin on skin was crisp and a little shocking, as was the answering tingle in his palm. Toshinori's mind strayed as he experimented with different kinds of strokes, hard and soft, shallow or direct. Still nothing. Certainly nothing compared to the way Aizawa was carrying on a few minutes ago, actually moaning. The older hero found himself beginning to founder in the silence. Should he have taken his chance and ended it there? Was Aizawa rolling his eyes at his poor efforts? Or had he managed to fall asleep splayed like this? Shit. They had never talked about his reactions or good signs for this particular act, because Toshinori never thought he would be doing it, spanking and restraining a man, which made him realize he was doing it. And if he was bold enough to do it, he knew, he didn't have to do it alone. Did that feel good? Yeah. If Aizawa heard the tension in his voice, he kept it to himself, and Toshinori was speedily distracted by the way the younger hero stretched and spread his legs a little wider. It'd feel better if you kept your fingers together. Makes it land harder. And don't keep it to one area. Spread it around, at least at the start. He was doing this, and he could learn how to do it well. For both of them. Exploration, not expectation. And no mind reading involved. This wasn't something he had to do on his own. How could he, when it was all about how they fit together? And this? Ugh. A curt intake of breath. Good. It was a different kind of thrill, hearing Aizawa's deep voice weaken and crack as he learned the ropes. Like a real-time report card. He could cup his hand with his fingers together, for example, for a more solid blow, and that earned him his first real groan. He watched with bated breath as Aizawa carefully rolled his hips, as if spreading the sensation through his pinkening ass cheeks. The muscles of his thighs jumping under a fine layer of sweat the older hero hadn't noticed before. Around the 5th hard smack, Toshinori was almost giddy, because he'd found it. The aspect. His aspect. Perhaps irritated at his endless hedging questions about basics of play, Aizawa was quite clear about it. There was no singular dominant persona to worship and emulate. Everyone had a different style, something they brought to play. It was no good trying to copy someone else, because enjoyment hinged on your own interests and abilities, and there was frankly no other point. Find your aspect, was his teacher's only cryptic advice when Aizawa shooed him off to other things. Grading, networking, banal things terribly removed from his growing interest in seeing Aizawa moan and go blank and surrender underneath him, while having less and less idea how. Skill was one thing, but what did Aizawa mean when he spoke of a lossless exchange of power? It's the thing you can do and want to do. It will be the thing that makes you feel powerful and feels good to give. It helps the other person feel the same to take. A circuit, efficient to the benefit of all involved. That's our agreement, and I'm not interested in anything less. As far as Toshinori could tell, and it had been a subject of quiet consternation for a while, Aizawa seemed to be attracted to his strength, first and foremost. This was nothing like what he could do as All Might, of course, but it was something Toshinori could hook into, dive into. It was an aspect of his body and abilities that made him feel
good. Radiant, confident, in control. If strength was truly what Aizawa wanted, it was easy and pleasant to give. Suddenly, Toshinori was in his element. He knew bodies. Not in a sensual sense, no. But he knew physics and holds and torque. He knew control, carved into him as law to prevent his true strength from harming anyone over the years. All Might knew how to grab and hold people like this. And, with that thought, it was all a game. It was amazing how it suddenly became a game as he slipped into marble-cast muscle memory. The echoes of 2 decades of hero work. Angle and impact aligned effortlessly, and Aizawa buckled under precise, staggering blows, peppered with little stings of his palm. He began to gasp and struggle on his lap, and gave a furious growl when expertly immobilized at the knees. And Toshinori didn't miss the way the coarse hairs on his captive's legs went stiff when he gave a low, pleased chuckle and pinched the meat of his thigh. Restraining and striking in turns was just enough exertion to warm him, thrill him, make the dry muscles of his true body sing. He was smiling, showing his teeth, watching, learning, sweating, and counting. Most of all, growing with every broken moan that eked past Aizawa's bitten lips, there was the dizzying, nearly drunken rush of competency. It had been a long time. All the while, Aizawa fought him, arching away and trying to slip his grip like he could escape. Yet, the stutter of his breath was impossible to miss as he bit back moans and the sounds only increased when Toshinori grabbed a leg and held him down and stung him. The pantomime of struggle was vital and rich, and it made Toshinori think of submission freely given versus forced. Aizawa seemed to be of the latter category, if the shamefully wet spot soaked into the sheets beneath his cock was any indication. He wanted to fight and thrash and rail, profoundly not in control, and be rewarded by defeat. At one point, his partner pulled hard enough on the anchored cuffs that he was fully off the ground. For the millionth time, Toshinori was stunned by the gymnast's body, strung out in front of him like an Italian Renaissance sculpture, the carved muscles of his ass all the more noticeable for the angry red dusting them. He was shaking from the effort of staying aloft, breath hissing through his teeth, sweat streaked down his sides. Relax. He passed a hand over Aizawa's back, cupping and petting. Then, again, firmer, fingertips dug into his knotted deltoid with a curt shake, the kind that forced villains to let go of any weapon they were holding. Aizawa-kun, relax, now. I don't want to hurt you, he almost said, and the irony of it only hit him when Aizawa abruptly slumped onto the bed, panting and holding perfectly still for the privilege of just that. The following slap cracked through the muggy bedroom air, and Aizawa moaned through a mouthful of pillow, toes curling. That could bruise, Toshinori mused, running his fingers over the hot skin almost dreamily. Aizawa raised his head and exhaled, sprawled form sweating and twitching. Toshinori took a handful of his raw ass cheek and squeezed. Aizawa pushed into his grip with a greedy shiver, and Toshinori's mouth went dry to see his swollen cock twitch, dribbling crystalline onto the already stained sheets. Aizawa loved this. There was no asking how or why. There was only want, pleasure, and a growing pride. A need and an answer. A service and a servant. Do you like the idea of being bruised? Toshinori continued, mumbling lightly to himself like they were in the staff room talking about tea selection. He thumbed the younger hero's abused ass cheeks wide, humming at how Aizawa tensed and squirmed. In the shape of my hand, maybe.
He heard Aizawa suck in a shaky breath. When he spoke, it was a disparaging croak, cold and thin as the sweat coating his back. Couldn't if you fucking tried. Toshinori felt his brows drift up. He wasn't riled so easily. It was part of his staying power as the symbol of peace, of course. A remarkably cool head. If you say so, he said lightly, humbly, and Aizawa instantly growled in dirty frustration, bucking his grip. Not what he wanted to hear. Toshinori bit his cheek to keep from smirking. Another curt smack, and Aizawa was back offline, huffing and moaning into the sheets, writhing in a way that made pain and luxury indistinguishable. His failed ploy had been no more than a brief interruption to getting his thighs tanned, but on the giving side of things, Toshinori realized he was getting short of breath. It wasn't the physicality of it, not all of it at least, but the pressure of giving his all for Aizawa. Toshinori was sweating, equally from holding back and zeroing in on every single sound and motion of the man in his care. His hands burned with pins and needles, and a hot, peeling feeling on his palms. He could only imagine how much Aizawa's ass stung. He briefly made a fist when Aizawa caught his breath and swallowed as he spotted a water bottle from earlier. He was doing well, he thought from a distance, as he reached for it. They both were. He upended the bottle, raw fingers slipping on the unfamiliar texture. Water hit his parched throat like liquid diamonds, and the feeling flattened him for a moment. Terrible thirst and satisfaction appeared and vanished in the same moment, starburst on his limited reality. When he gulped down as much as he could, and followed it with a few gulps of air, he found himself transfixed by the heat coming off of Aizawa's raised ass. He should have offered him the rest of the water, checked on him. Instead, Toshinori tipped the bottle, letting loose a thin stream and watching it splash down on his playmate's round ass. Aizawa cursed and bucked away from the splash of cold, and Toshinori automatically hushed him, exhaling soothingly and swiping his thumb over the candy pink glow of his skin under the shine of the water. Hush, I'm cooling you off. He squeezed and groped, feeling his trapped cock pulse in response to the slippery fullness in his hands. He could touch Aizawa like this for hours. His gut stirred contentedly at the thought. Both hands full, awash in serene curiosity, Toshinori spread him again and watched the water drip down between his cheeks. It passed over his hole, and Aizawa whined in agony, leg kicking out, his toes curling, and he tried to recoil, but Toshinori hushed him again, holding him down with an arm across his back. He circled the wet pucker with a fingertip, heart pounding in his ears. Aizawa went perfectly still on his lap. The more Toshinori saw of him, the more he wanted. He wanted to bend his head and taste all of him. He wanted to flutter the tip of his tongue along the tender dip of his hole and slowly sink it in, taking his time while Aizawa squirmed and gasped. Or he could slide a finger in, knowing just where to reach in his hot, slippery insides to drive him wild. Would Aizawa clench and pull around his finger? Could he feel throbbing if he came? It was too much to hold in his mind. Toshinori felt powerful, but shaking legs clenched sharply around his hips, and the heated thoughts fizzled out in a rush, replaced by the very real sound of Aizawa panting like a wounded animal. Too much. More importantly, not what Aizawa asked for. Had to keep a straight head and mind the lines. Trailing his fingertips over his legs, Toshinori finally closed his hand around Aizawa's shaft, catching a hot smear of pre-cum on his thumb and rubbing little circles over his swollen cockhead. Aizawa groaned and spasmed at the hips, and his cock slid effortlessly in Toshinori's fist, greased by how much he wanted it and how he'd been forced to wait. Dripping, legs shaking,
cracked open and caught. A victory, after all. Toshinori's smile spread and settled like a halo.
What do you want?
He should have expected it. He had no right to be surprised, but he was, too focused on their plan and imagining his tongue sliding down Aizawa's desperately hard cock after all this play. Toshinori's reward as much as his.
Fuck me,
Aizawa hissed, head dropping. Muscles stood out in beautiful definition along his knotted back and shoulders as he held himself aloft again, legs spread, offering.
Fucking fuck me. Raw me. I need your fucking cock. Please, please.
No, Toshinori said, smile fading. His hand hadn't stopped its leisurely course up and down Aizawa's cock, and he didn't want to. Now who was overstepping?
Shove your cock in my ass. Fuck me in half,
he snarled, voice cracking.
I need it so fucking bad, please.
Aizawa trembled, fists white above the cuffs, before shifting gears and shoving backwards, seeking the heat and hardness of his erection. Toshinori's dick flexed at the sudden clumsy pressure, leaking into his trousers with a hot, molten shiver that left him painfully breathless. He winced, big palms slipping on Aizawa's hips.
Shota, please, Toshi.
The nickname cut. Unprofessional, he thought. Or just uncalled for. He sat with it for a moment, but his given position pruned away any tendency to compromise or plead. Authority was a powerful thing in the right hands, and his answer was the same. No. It was just no. Because it wasn't about nerves or disappointment. He wasn't ready to fuck Aizawa that way, and he didn't want to find some clammy plastic thing in the green box and placate him with it either. He knew what he wanted out of this, and poor substitution wasn't it. He wanted to make Aizawa come with touch and tongue, wring it out of him with his own two hands, and hold him down as he struggled and came undone. He wanted nothing between them, and he wanted to taste it.
I said no, Shota,
he repeated, when his playmate petulantly yanked at the cuffs. Something in his voice boomed, firm and familiar and primary colored. Correct.
Not yet.
Fuck you, Aizawa snapped suddenly, low and livid. He torqued his hips and kicked out, up, and Toshinori grunted as something pegged him hard in the shoulder. It was a glancing blow from Aizawa's heel, but the gall of it shocked the older hero. It hardened something inside him, and he knew. This part of the game had outlived its use. He defused the situation in short order. Toshinori grabbed the offending leg and flipped him over and off his lap with a squeak from the cuff anchor, sending Aizawa smacking down on his back. The same leg went flush to his chest, pinning him to the futon, and Toshinori loomed over him, incapacitated and in a fraction of a second.
Do that again, and neither of us will get what we want,
Toshinori said, dangerously even. He could swear he saw Aizawa's pupils blow wide, even in the shadow he cast. He wondered if there was anything left of his own eyes, or if the glowing blue had been eaten by the same dark fullness of their game.
Find something else to want, he ordered, voice dropping even lower as he added more weight to Aizawa's leg, until his ribs creaked. Now.
Suck my cock, Aizawa spat back, dark hair matted to his forehead and his lips curled over his teeth. Toshinori swallowed, his gut warmed and soared, released from their escalation deathlock into the promise of the premise, and his cock twitched in his sticky briefs. Hunger and excitement crowded him, urging him to jump and finally take. Still, he looked, he waited, and pantomimed consideration, wet his lips.
And your manners?
He breathed, fairly floating. Any anxieties were just memories, with the hardness of his hand on Aizawa's shin. It was so clear now, how truly defenseless he was, and how easily he folded. How much he wanted to fold, if only someone would press hard enough. Aizawa stared up at him, past his hiked leg, chest heaving and a wild glint in his eye. His grin was all teeth. So suck my fucking cock, All Might Sama. It hit him so hard, punching straight down to his stomach and sparking wrong right yellow all the way, that Toshinori almost moaned aloud. He couldn't bend fast enough to finally lick a stripe up Aizawa's dick, suckling the tip with a groan of animal relief. He quickly pulled Aizawa's leg over his shoulder, jostling closer, mouthing the underside of his flushed shaft one more time before fumbling it up and in. His brow knit at the visceral push of the cock against his tongue and the way it filled his mouth, somehow bigger than in his hand. He only bobbed his head, breath whimpering through his nose, and immediately found his head squeezed between muscular thighs, Aizawa's heels digging viciously into his back. Whether the squeeze was to hold him in place on his cock or just a reflex, Aizawa wasn't done fighting. Toshinori groped for purchase on the thick of his thighs, pulling them just far enough apart to suckle and shove the hot curve of Aizawa's dick past his lips with more and more sloppy, smooth rhythm. Mangled gut hitching with excitement, his ears crackled as he pushed his head down again and again against the slick vice of his legs, gaining only flashes of Aizawa making desperate, garbled noises, until he heard the clanging and the body above him spasmed sharply. No, 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 fuck, no! A second later, Aizawa came, hot and heavy into his mouth, without much warning other than a savage jerk of his hips, a chemical taste flooding his tongue. Aizawa groaned and arched, whimpering in gentle rhythm as Toshinori ardently sucked him through it, stroking his legs and feeling him shake to either side of his head. When the leg across his shoulder fell limp, he pulled off, lips tingling. Panting, moving as if through an orange haze, Toshinori pulled back just enough to loose the front of his trousers and mercilessly jack himself into the climax that had coiled in his gut for what seemed like an eternity. He groaned in dizzy satisfaction as his cock pulsed and instantly spilled hot cum over Aizawa's spread legs and belly, body shaking uncontrollably with the release force of such a slow buildup. He lurched forward, heaving and coughing. Sorry, Toshinori gasped when he could breathe again, his hands still curled around his spent red cock. That wasn't polite. We didn't negotiate that. Aizawa murmured something in response, but the words were lost under the noise of Toshinori's own papery panting. Aizawa was checked out, hands curled petal-like and still above the cuffs. His belly was rising and falling, and Toshinori reached out to touch it and feel it, pulling back when he remembered, rather than saw the fat stripes of cum painting his body. He was responsible for that. Another impoliteness. He was also responsible for Aizawa, and remembering that injected a little strength into his jelly bones. His first attempt to stand nearly landed him right back on the floor, but he made it to his feet and gathered a cloth from the kitchenette and another glass of water, only staggering directly into the doorframe on the way back. As he closed the door and approached, Aizawa began to stir. He pulled at the cuffs, testing, then began to yank and tug, some worrying emotion creasing his brow as his breath hitched. I'm here, Toshinori promised in a whisper, urgency singing from afar as he dropped to his knees and reached for the cuffs. Aizawa moaned weakly when the restraints came undone, and the way he tried to curl into his sheets and hide made it easy for Toshinori to submerge himself in the last, most important part of his job. Gently coaxing him flat, he soothed and rubbed the reddened, dented skin of Aizawa's wrists, carefully massaging the blood back into his limbs as the younger hero had done for him so many times, bringing him back bit by bit.
Toshinori wanted to kiss his freed wrists. He wanted to press his cheek to them and feel Aizawa's hectic pulse slow and even out, and fuse with his breath in a song of safety and calm and allowing. He didn't. He checked on every part, fingertips ghosting over Aizawa's chapped lips and closed eyes, hands pressing and rubbing his tight shoulders back into a normal position, settling him. Toshinori flushed a little as he wet the kitchen cloth and carefully wiped down the muscled planes of Aizawa's chest and abs and parted thighs, one hand bracing his hip as he relieved the brave hero of sweat and cum and struggle. Toshinori's fingertips lingered on the scars as he did so, but just a second, just a touch, an apology even, as he cleaned up any of his other mistakes. Caring for another so conscientiously was its own kind of trance, but Aizawa's labored breathing broke through. He looked down. The younger hero's eyes were screwed shut underneath the web of sweaty hair, and he had tucked his arms behind his back, parallel with his torso. He was shaking. Shota? There was no appreciable response. Even as he reached for it, any sense of alarm was terribly distant through the fog. Had they come out of it too fast? Was he dipping or dropping? Whatever the correct words were, Toshinori sensed the uneasiness and put a hand to his chest, leaning in. I'm here. You're safe in your apartment. Tell me what you need if you can hear me. Get on me, Aizawa muttered at length, through his teeth. His dark lashes flickered as his head nodded slightly, like a warning system telegraphing that he was caught half in and half out of somewhere, and important pieces were not matching up. Please, do you want the pressure? Toshinori asked, not understanding. Aizawa managed a clear and clearly frustrated nod, and lay twitching busily in his own flushed skin, until Toshinori carefully climbed atop him, suddenly ungainly with his elbows and knees and his oversized, half-fastened suit. A sound of relief gushed out as his partner was fully pinned to the mattress, and Aizawa's head fell to the side with a throaty sigh, finally still. Despite himself, despite the clear functionality of their position, Toshinori's tired heart picked up the pace for the millionth time. Lying on top of Aizawa in the quiet, helplessly memorizing the planes and simple pressure of their bodies, made Toshinori imagine slow mornings, together, waking up easily, reaching for one another in the warm sheets and trading kisses until the angle of the sun couldn't be denied, and it was time for class. He would drive, of course, unless they wanted to walk, brushing shoulders and making small talk, making plans. Begging his own thoughts to still, Toshinori lay his nose against Aizawa's warm throat and breathed in what he could, testing his only lung and forcing the crack in his heart that much wider. He ached to turn his head and kiss Aizawa's cheek again and again, the shell of his ear and the soft of his neck, until it relieved the sweet smothering urgency he felt laying atop the other hero like a clumsy paperweight. Useful, if nothing else. Can I sleep? Aizawa rasped in his ear, distant. Small. It was smaller than he'd ever heard the other hero, and the urge to protect him flared high, a backbone of fire and feeling as tall as he was. It carried him the rest of the way. Yes, Toshinori fairly sighed, feeling all the lingering anxiety rush out of his chest. Sleep was good for him. He needed it. Please sleep. Rest. It's okay. I'll be here. Aizawa hummed and was gone a few moments after, breath slowing and deepening to the lapping of waves against sand. In and out. In and out. When he was sure it was safe, Toshinori carefully dismounted and took a moment to stretch out his back, staring blearily around the room. His body came back to him in pieces. His back hurt, or would soon, and the price of kneeling for an hour, 2 hours, or just 2 orgasms, wouldn't be pretty. He slowly eased his legs straight, breath hitching as his tendons pulled and pinched in protest, and barely ended up cross-legged and hacking quietly. For the aches and confusion suddenly descending on his rickety body, the wreckage of the afternoon was underwhelming. Tangled sheets, a crumpled wet rag, and an empty water bottle. Below discarded cuffs. He looked down at Aizawa, motionless and stripped and unconscious, and wondered how there wasn't more evidence of their struggle when it felt like his organs had been rearranged by the intensity of it. How could so much have happened in such a small space and time? The stack of untouched quizzes stood in the corner of the room, by Aizawa's closed laptop. But responsibility wasn't an option. Instead, Toshinori fumbled for his phone and sat cross-legged by the futon, pulling up some internet game out of habit. He wanted cute noises and colors to chip away at the silence until he came back down, or back up, or something. Before he could think that he should move away and give Aizawa a little room to sleep, the sheets rustled and a hand grabbed and fumbled against his side. His bad side. Toshinori felt the grisly pinch at the center of his scar, but didn't hesitate to take Aizawa's reaching hands and guide them across his lap however he wanted. He knew by now it was fruitless to resist the homeroom teacher's sleep assault, a lesson well learned by crawling into his own bed a few nights previous, only to be glommed onto with the tenacity and unresponsiveness of a barnacle. Aizawa had hit his side pretty hard that night, too, but it didn't matter. Not when Toshinori remembered how good it felt to be sought out so instinctively, in the comfort of his sheets, to have no choice but to be held, or so he told himself. So he took what he could, because that's what they were about. Mornings were incidental. Lost in his thoughts, Toshinori watched silently as Aizawa's blind search for more forgiving parts of his body ended. Arms looped around his waist, naked body spilling out of his lap, Aizawa pillowed his stubbly cheek against his thigh and gave a light, rattling snore. Finally settled, asleep. His side hurt, but he held on, combing through Aizawa's damp tangles with quiet reverence. There was nothing to be done about it anyway. Some things just hurt now, and the cooling anesthesia of endorphins drained further in the quiet, exposing the strain in his temperamental joints, and taking with it the spitefully recurrent delusion that the two of them could fit together in any way other than this. A service and an arrangement. A promise not to get irrational. The room around Toshinori opened, yawning far past warm skin and yes and no, and he found himself shrinking from the exposure. Suddenly, there was tomorrow. There was school, there was the rest of the quiz stack, and there was sitting in bed tonight, remembering this. Toshinori's head was terribly empty, his stapled chest so tight he couldn't take a full breath, though he tried and tried. The last time Toshinori's body felt this world-endingly jumbled, he was rattling on a gurney under fluorescence with his guts hanging out. At least that wound was flesh and blood, and there were stitches and staples. He felt the weight of the difficult, brave, wounded soul in his lap, like a clawed fist in his heart. And yet, he was helpless but to crane down into that sweet sting, nosing into his tangled hair and enfolding as much of Aizawa into his arms as he could without waking him. His fingertips traced scars, craving and stealing. Another countdown, one of many. "I tried," he murmured, mournful, his throat cinched tight, and he shut his eyes. "I need you to know that I..." Mouth dry, Toshinori wished for a desperate instant that he was awake, and catching him in this act. He held his breath, heart pounding, but Aizawa slept on, fingers twitching, completely boneless in terrible trust. No one to save him from himself. "I'm so sorry," Toshinori said to the cooling sheets and the watery coffee, feeling his numb and sticky lips form a bitter smile no one had ever seen. But I think I love you. The end. The music used in this podfic is Let Me Hold You by Cheat Codes and Dante Klein. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!